Number 167. And leading the song, I even quoted the text that's given, Mark 11, verse 9. And then a friend helped me to understand more fully what that phrase meant. And that friend encouraged me. Maybe other people needed some more understanding, and I appreciated that very much. So I went on this journey, and it captivated me. And I want it to captivate you tonight. And I want to make a Bible word come to life for you tonight. Because you've probably heard the name God. You've heard the name Jesus. You've heard the name Spirit. We've heard it so much, we often even hear it misused and abused, as I mentioned this morning. And as Ken referenced tonight, it's a great name, the greatest name that we ever have known and will ever know. This, however, is not a name. Hosanna. That might be a newsflash. But rather, a prayer that people prayed. Go on this journey with me. And I wrote down several passages I want us to flip through tonight, starting in Exodus chapter 14, verse 30. As you're turning there, see if you can do something I'm unable to do, which is multitask. You're flipping and finding Exodus 14, verse 30. Listen to this. The word Hosanna in our English isn't even a Greek word. It's actually a Hebrew word that was made into a Greek word that we make even further into an English word. So this baby is two languages transformed. So to get back to the original, we got to go back into the Hebrew, which if you don't know, is the language of the Old Testament. And so this word is actually a compound word. A compound word from two words. Hasha and Na. Now those don't mean anything to me, because I don't know a lick of Hebrew. We have a man who worships with us, who's probably worshiping with us online, who is incredibly intelligent in the Hebrew language, even teaching himself some Aramaic at this point in time. He's probably listening, looking at me and laughing. You can just hold it to yourself for now and talk to me later. Two words to create this phrase. Hasha and Na. Here's what they mean. But first, I feel funny saying that out loud. I'm not trying to try to be smarter than what I really am. I just read it in a book. Hasha means to deliver. That's the verbal part. To deliver. The Na part means I or we pray now. There's an urgency to it. And so when the phrase is mentioned, Hosanna or Yashana, or back in the Hebrew, which I don't know how to pronounce, there is a prayer that I or we are praying with an urgency, an emotion that says, save us now, Lord, we pray. So back in Exodus chapter 14, verse 30, let's get into the mindset of God's people way back when. Coming out of Egyptian bondage and Egyptian slavery, listen to what this verse says. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. The people were delivered from Egyptian slavery, Egyptian bondage. Yahweh delivered Israel at this point in time. He caused them to be delivered from slavery. Now skip forward to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. Continue on with me in this journey. Try and step into the shoes of the Israelite people who had been in bondage for several hundreds of years. And now all of a sudden they are delivered. And they look back and they see the death. And they see the conquering. They see the victory of Yahweh God. And so they know that God has delivered them from that bondage. And now they're looking to come into the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 20 in verse 4. And the phrase is mentioned in verse 4. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Yet again, God is the God of deliverance. And His people are understanding that. They're seeing that in big ways and in small ways. And everything in between. delivering them from Egyptian bondage and slavery, delivering them from what was before them, the waters, behind them, the armies, delivering them from the enemies that encamped around them, delivering them now even into the promised land. And thus, Israel became known as a people who were delivered by God. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. Listen to this description within this great blessing that Moses blessed the people with. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. God is a God of deliverance for His people. They're seeing it, experiencing it, and accepting it. And Israel became known as a people whom God delivered. When other nations would eventually come and capture the ark, they gave a beware. They gave a word of caution to the armies. They said, hey, beware. Beware about this ark. And if Israel comes, we've heard about that God, and He's a mighty God. And basically, he said, the leader of that army said to the Israelites, you better fight. Fight with vigor and fight with courage, lest they come with their God, because they became known as a people whom God delivered. When oppressed by foreign nations, God would deliver Israel. Now, it started the transition. Now, He started the transition by using an agent of deliverance. Look at Judges chapter 2, verse 16. And guys, I'm just giving you snippets of history. And I'm just giving you pieces along the journey. But I want you to try to get yourself into the mindset of Israel being delivered over and over and over and over. And here in Judges chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible describes this. Then the Lord raised up judges. What did they do? Who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. So God now is transitioned. Now He's using agents for His deliverance. Agents. People that He could put in place to bring His people out of whatever entrapment they had found themselves. And even further, from Judges, He moved along now to Kings. And I could read about 1 Samuel 9, verse 16, where Saul came and he has a description about him, where Samuel found him, and that was going to be the guy that would deliver the people from their enemies. God used agents in 1 Samuel 9, verse 16, speaking about the king, King Saul. So are you with me on this journey? Deliverance, 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 deliverance. Over and over and over and over and time again. I believe that God was preparing His people and giving them an anticipation of a future deliverance through a future person that wouldn't just be a deliverance from an outside enemy or an upcoming problem, but deliverance from something within. You see, I believe that the Old Testament is the physical forerunner to the New. And the New Testament is the spiritual revelation or the spiritual manifestation of what physically came beforehand. Watch this. Weren't the Israelites slaves in Egypt? And then weren't they set free from that bondage? And then didn't they wander in the wilderness? And then have to build their tabernacle, eventually come into the promised land to have a temple, a physical place where God's presence was made known? And that was the promised land they eventually got to, that God promised to them and brought them to? You see how that physical journeying in the Old Testament, watch this, into the New Testament. Some preachers have said, and I've said it too, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, while the New Testament is the old revealed. It's the spiritual manifestation of what physically happened in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not trying to confuse anybody, but these things get me real pumped up. And I promise you, there is a destination on this journey. Stay with me, though. You remember what Israel just did and God's people did physically in the Old Testament? Watch this. Weren't we all slaves of sin? Weren't we then set free by Christ? Didn't we all have to pass through the waters to taste the freedom? And now aren't we all wandering as pilgrims in the wilderness, awaiting the promised land to which we go? And now aren't we called the temple of the Holy Spirit because we've been built by our God and given Him as a sign and a seal of the redemption that will come to us in finality on the day of judgment? Don't you see the parallels? Slave, slave, set free, wandering, wandering, temple, temple, promised land. Don't you see the spiritual manifestation of that physical forerunner? Man, that's exciting. It helps me know, like Chris Miller said, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way, and that home is coming. And that promised land is, we're on our way right now. I think God was preparing within His people a great anticipation of a great deliverer and a great deliverance. Have you ever heard the name Felix Kirsten? You can click to that next slide. This is one picture of one was young and one when he was a bit older. If you've not heard this name, some people call him the silent savior. Why? Because in Nazi Germany, when Heinrich Himmler was taking lives by the tens of thousands as he studied, Himmler demanded that Kirsten come and be his physical physician, physical assistant, physical therapist of sorts. Himmler dealt with a lot of stomach issues, and Kirsten was renowned for what he could do by using these tactics of what we would now call a physical therapist type stuff. Anyway, he said, and he quoted in some of his biographies or in interviews he was in, he was quoted, "If I were to deny the job, I thought I would be killed." So he took the job. And he became so close to Himmler that Himmler would trust Kirsten with the secrets of Nazi Germany plans, of his camps, and what he would do to people. And so throughout those years that Dr. Kirsten was helping to heal and helping to ease the pain of Heinrich Himmler, what Himmler didn't know was behind the scenes, Kirsten was clearing out people from concentration camps left and right. And it said, and it's attested, that he saved upwards of 60,000 people from Nazi German concentration camps. Wow. Have you even heard his name before? I neither. Talk about a silent savior. You see, somebody who has the power to deliver is a man worth knowing. And we hear 60,000, we say, unbelievable, how incredible. Well, somebody who has the power to deliver is worth knowing. And now, because we know Christ, when you say 60,000, I say not impressive. Because Jesus has the power to save all people and deliver anybody and everybody from all time. You can click to that next slide. Somebody who has the power to be Hosanna, not as a name, but as an answer to the prayer that we get to pray, is worthy of praise, honor, and worship. Can you get yourself into the mindset of a group of people who are looking forward to, with great anticipation of, a deliverance change the world? Because for generations, it built up within them. And for generations, stories were told of what Yahweh God has done and what He will do. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, here's what the scripture says. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. Now, can you imagine the people sitting on the edge of their seats with great anticipation? So that great deliverer is coming? You mean our nation is going to have a resurgence of power and place and prominence because that man will be sitting on that throne, the throne of David? Yes. And here's his name. And can you imagine the anticipation they sat with, wondering what that name will be? And the prophet said, "The Lord is our righteousness." Not your standard name. But when I turn to my New Testament, into Romans chapter 10, verse 4, I read this description of Jesus. I'm going to start back up at verse 1 and end with verse 4. Speaking to a group of people who would have been intimately connected to those prophets and to those people and to those forefathers. Christians with an understanding of what that Hebrew life and anticipation must have been like. He said this, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Hold on one second. What was that description in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5? Wasn't it the name "The Lord is our righteousness"? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Could it be the case that that might in some way be the prophetic answer of the prophetic coming deliverer who would take the people squandering in the wilderness of wandering and give them a resurgence of prominence and place and power, but not physically, rather spiritually? Well, back in John chapter 12, and let's bring this journey to a close, if you will. When those people, who yet again would have been intimately and closely connected to that heritage, to that anticipation that was welling up within the nation as a whole, generation after generation after generation, when they heard that somebody was coming who could be the coming king, the one of great anticipation, the deliverer, listen to what happened. Let me read it again. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." What were they saying? Not a name given to a person, but an urgent prayer of salvation for the deliverance that that person could offer. They were saying this, "Lord, save us, we pray." With urgency, with emotion, and with passion, they were pleading for their deliverance. And isn't a man who's able to deliver worthy to be praised? And shouldn't he be a man who needs to be known? That is why John and the other writers of the gospel accounts let it be known to all the world for all time that Jesus is the man who has that power. He has the ability to save and to deliver. And as we come to understand this phrase, and not just the phrase itself, but the person behind the phrase, we come in contact with the person who is able to save us now. And he's worthy of our praise. And if we're going to be a people who've come to know the deliverance of Jesus, of God through the Christ, the Anointed One, here's how delivered people act. Delivered people have joy in the Lord because they're free. Delivered people share the testimony of their deliverance because it was amazing. Delivered people don't look back to where they came from because they know how bad that was. Delivered people look with enthusiasm to where they are going because they know it's perfect. So we sing the song. Hosanna in the highest. And I know you can't open up your book, but hear the words. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Save us. Save us. You who are in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name because you're able to save. We have hearts full of praise. And so be exalted, O Lord, my God. Hosanna in the highest. I would love to be able to sing the song. Probably couldn't get through the song. But maybe, Todd, could you lead that song? At some point tonight? That'd be great. Nate, could you pull it up on the PowerPoint? Because here's what I want us to do. Sing with hearts full of praise. With a heart and a mind that understands. We know Him who is able to save. And we've been brought out of slavery into freedom. Now that we are delivered people, we sing with joy, we live with joy, we bear testimony and witness to the deliverance that's been given, and we look with anticipation to the home that is coming. And so no matter what happens in this life, we know we're saved. Not because of me, but because of Christ in me. Not just because of Christ, but because of what God has done through Christ. For you and for me. So Nate, is it possible to sing that song? All right. Todd, if you would, let's stand up. It's one. No. Mm-mm. Okay. Well, I'll start it and then I'll sit down.
Thanks, man.
I'll start from the ground. Let's stand up and sing this one.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Holy, lift up the name with hearts full of praise, so be exalted.
While we're standing, we'll sing number 904 as a song of encouragement in case there's someone here that needs to be restored or be baptized.